In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God hides himself to reveal himself. No flashes of power, no transfigured glory, no bread, no stones to bread or staffs into serpents, but a word. God reveals himself in his word. If anyone keeps my word, he will never see death, he says. And with these words, he claims authority over life and death. He is not an instrument of the Father, that the Father simply uses for his purposes. No, he is one with the Father, equal in glory, majesty, honor, and power, for it is his word that gives life, not simply the words of the Father. But he hides that from their eyes, his majesty, glory, and power. He hides it from their eyes so they might live by his word. For faith comes by hearing the word. The Jews knew full well who Jesus claimed to be, so they picked up stones to stone him, accusing him of blasphemy. They did not receive his word because they were not of God. So he spoke plainly to them. His words are true whether men believe them or not. His words give life whether man believes it or not. So they want Abraham to be dead. Because that way Jesus would not be God then. And yet Jesus speaks of a resurrection to immortality and life eternal. They may share the blood of Abraham, but they are not sons of Abraham. Because they do not treasure the word in their heart, even as Abraham treasured that word and kept it in his heart. They are not of God. And that is why Christ hid himself from them. His time had not yet come. So he removes his visible presence from their midst, but leaves them with his word. For faith comes by that word. Abraham saw the day of Jesus and rejoiced. Now, how can someone who lived 2,000 years before Christ see the day of Jesus? By the word. Abraham believed the word that God had spoken to him, and his faith was credited to him as righteousness. The word gave him Isaac. The word promised that through Isaac, a Savior would come who would redeem all people. So Isaac is the son of the promise. No Isaac, no Savior. Yet then the word told him to go and sacrifice Isaac. Abraham doesn't try to figure out which one is true and which one is false, but instead he keeps both words of God. A Savior must come from Isaac, and Isaac must die, because Abraham believed in the resurrection of the dead. And so in faith, he saw lying on that altar the very word of God. In faith, he raised his hand to sacrifice his son because he believed that the word of God is good, even if it didn't make complete sense to him. In faith, he acted. And then God spoke his word to stay Abraham's raised hand. And in faith, he saw that ram behind him caught by its horns in a thicket. His faith saw Isaac and the ram as a shadow of something greater that is to come. A willing sacrifice. A substitutionary sacrifice. So Abraham held that word in his heart. So he is not dead, but Abraham lives. He lives with God in heaven, not simply way off in the future at the resurrection of all flesh, but right now he lives with God in heaven because he kept the words of Jesus in his heart. And God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. We must prize the word of God more than anything else in our life. Easy to say, harder to do. We say it often, but how hard to live it. For there God alone reveals himself to us. That is the reason why we have a golden gospel book. It's not because we like pretty things. It's simply because we want to confess to all that the Word of God is everything. It is our priceless treasure. Without it, we have nothing. But with it, we have all things. There alone God reveals himself. So today, the statues and images of Jesus are covered. They're veiled from our eyes so that we might see with our ears. Our eyes can deceive us. We like the things that we can see, and we think whatever is true is whatever I have seen. It falls into the scientific method and all sorts of things, that if I have seen it, I will believe it. But today our sight is hindered. Today there's nothing to see, or at least far less to see. God hides from our eyes so that we might listen to his word. God hides from our eyes as a child teeters on the brink of life and death, and the parents wonder why this sickness has come. Go and sacrifice your child, whom you love. Easy to say yes, hard to do. God hides from our eyes as our lives do not go the path that we had laid out for ourselves. It's hard to let go. It's hard to be dependent upon someone else for bodily functions and other things, not to mention for even feeding you. It's hard to get old, to slow down, hard to admit that. So we see society and even ourselves trying to grasp onto a little bit of youth through who knows what. Go and sacrifice, God says. It's hard to live in this cursed world when we know full well that Christ has removed all sin, pain, suffering, and death from us forever. And yet still we labor, still we trudge forward. It's hard to be lonely and empty, because God hides behind the suffering and the pain and the loneliness and the emptiness and even the loss and the death. He hides behind it. And now you know a little bit of what Abraham was asked to endure. The veil obstructs our view. We do not see our Lord risen and ruling over all things. These veils are not supposed to be here. They're hiding beautiful things. We want it gone. We want to see our Lord. We want everything to go back to normal and to be back not only in the prime of our life, but in a perfected world. We want to see the spear wound and the marks on his hands and feet. But now is the time for faith, not for sight. Now is the time for listening to his word, not for seeing things come to completion. Now is the time to live by that word. For it is in that word that we too see the day of Jesus. By that word, God hides himself so that he might reveal himself in a word. For there you find a God that removes death and gives abundant life. There you find a better sacrifice than Isaac, who is more willing and more eager, who took the wood of the cross on his back and trudged up that same hill to which Isaac went. It should have been you. They were your sins, not his. You were the sinner, not him. It should have been you, and yet it was him. For he is also that divine lamb who dies in the place of all men. And yet no ram will be offered in his place. The hand will not be stayed, the fires will not be quenched, for he will endure the very fires of hell and be slaughtered on that holy mountain to atone for your sin, to pay your punishment, to remove your guilt, and to set you free. A willing substitute for you. A savior for you. Your God bearing your sin and dying your death so that you might go free. For this he was born, and for this he lived, so that you might have life in his name. Only the word tells you that. Apart from the word of God, you would not know that. But the word reveals God, not simply as I am, a great and powerful God who simply exists, but the word gives us a better name than that. It gives us the name that is above every other name, for at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess Jesus to be God and Lord. Some willingly, some will be forced to, and will confess in fear at the last day. But the name of Jesus alone reveals a God who is lifted up for us and for our salvation. For you have not, we are not worthy of so great a love. Whoever is of God hears the words of God, and his faith is credited to him as righteousness. For you have not touched the nail marks, you have not put your hand in his side. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. We cling to his word, and even death itself is removed. You see what a great power then faith is. Faith is able to overcome death and the grave, not of course because faith is so great, but because the object to which faith clings to. Faith can rejoice in hardship. Faith can rejoice in adversity. Faith can rejoice in loss and difficulty because faith is rooted not in its own experiences, but it is rooted in the Word of God. The two must always be kept together, the Word and faith. God speaks, and faith clings to that Word, holding it steadfast in its heart. It will not live by its eyes, but it lives by its ears, by hearing and by receiving. It will not judge God by what it sees, but it will judge God solely by what it hears. And so that means that those who have heard the word of God and have left this life still live. They are not gone, but they are still alive with Christ, even as Abraham lives. For now it is a veiled body. For now we do not see all that we want to see. For now a veil is placed over our eyes. A body is buried. A child is sick. A heart is broken. A mind deteriorates. Knees weaken. The eyes are blinded to the glories which Christ has won for us. But not the ears. The ears hear of life and health and restoration and peace in the age to come, because the Son of the promise, the substitutionary Lamb, has been sacrificed in our place. We have life. So Abraham rejoiced to see his son willingly bound. Abraham rejoiced to see his son, or the ram, offered in the place of his son. It is not easy, but we must confess the same, that God is good even when he hides. So joy in sickness, joy in loss, joy in burial, joy in difficulty, hardship, and pain. Not because we like such things, but because we believe the word of God that says all these things have been removed. Christ's cross has made all things new, even though for now it is unseen. For God hides from our eyes, so that he might reveal himself through his word, so that by believing, we may have life in his name. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.